and the vegetables that we raised back then, that taste that I had back then still comes back to me. It's different from the foods that's in the stores.
In this episode of Voices from the Field, Candy Williams of the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff's Small Farms program talks with Hope, Arkansas farmer Ernestine Maxfield about ways for limited resources producers to manage risk in the Arklatex region. The Arklatex region is a socioeconomic tri-state region where Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas join. Candy also works with the Silas H. Hunt Community Development Corporation, which partnered in producing this podcast. This podcast was also produced by the National Center for Appropriate Technology through the ATRA Sustainable Agriculture Program under a cooperative agreement with USDA Rural Development. It was also made possible in part by funding from the Southern Risk Management Education Center, USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture, through the University of Arkansas. Let's listen.
Hello, my name is Candy Williams, and I work with the UAPB Small Farm Program. And today we will be discussing ways to reduce risk for limited resource producers in the Arklatex. Today I will be speaking with Ms. Ernestine Maxfield, and I met Ms. Maxfield in 2022 through the county extension agent. And we have since developed a relationship and other partnerships since that time. Ms. Maxfield, I would like to start by asking you to tell a little bit about yourself and how you got into farming.
Well, my name is Ernestine Maxfield. I grew up on a farm here in the little small Hempstead County town of Palmas, where my parents had a farm, and we raised our own vegetables and meat. And we didn't go to town that much and buy stuff, because mostly everything we raised here on the farm is what we was living on. And we was growing up healthy. And so as we got older, we got tired of working the farm and we went our own little ways. But it was still inside of us. And so it came back. My brothers, they had their own little gardens on their place and growing their vegetables like we did when we was at home. And so I was started bringing the family farm back to life. And I said I wanted to go back to raise. It won't be as big as it was when I was growing up, because we had 12 kids out there helping us to keep it up. But I was going to put in a little high tunnel house, and I was going to quarantine all my growing in there, being that I'm of age now where I can't bend over to the ground like I was when I was young. And so it's going to be on high tunnels, and we're going to raise it in raised beds. And the vegetables that we raised back then, that taste that I had back then still comes back to me. It's different from the foods that's in the stores, and it's more affordable. Back then, everybody could afford it, and what they couldn't afford, the farmers helped different families out. We're giving them fruits and vegetables from the garden. We had not only just our gardens, but we had fruit trees that we raised our fruit on that Mama would can and make preserves out of. And we would have plenty of food year-round to eat. And so that's why I'm starting my own little farm here with my boys. And we're going to get started and go back to the old-timey ways of helping out our neighbors and helping provide fruit to the people that they can't afford to go in the stores and buy.
How many of your boys will be participating on the farm?
Right now, it'll be the three, because my son is in Washington. He wants to move back home and help out with the farm. And my oldest son, who's in Camden, he said he would help out wherever he was needed. And then I have my two boys that's at home with me that will be helping out with the farm and different chores. I know we can't do it all on our own, because there could be other projects, bigger jobs to do, that we will probably have to hire in some extra help to come in and help us maintain the farm.
And as you've started farming as a new and beginning farmer, what are some of the marketing challenges that you've seen so far?
Since I've got started, the challenge that I've seen is the biggest is cost. It costs a lot nowadays to start up a farm and operate it. because I see why a lot of farmers went out of business because they couldn't afford it. They had to get all these different machines and equipment to come in, and they was trying to do it all on theirself with these machines, but it wasn't panning out for them, so they all just gave up the farm. And then as they left the scene, their kids decided they didn't want to go that route. So a lot of the kids is selling the family farms. But instead, I chose to keep our family farm, and we're going to make do with what we have, the way we was raised, and grow our own food.
And are you growing the same as your parents, the same crops?
Yes, some of the foods that I grow will be the same as my mama had in her garden. And then some of them, it's going to be something new that I'll be trying out. Like, we have fruit trees, but it's just the plain apples, peaches, cherries, and grapes, where I'm going a little bit different with mine. I'm adding in some avocados, going to try to raise some apricots, and some kiwi, all these healthy fruits that you have to go to the store and buy. I'm going to try to raise some of my own.
And I believe once we had a field day back in October, and you met a group of my colleagues, Mr. Joe Friend, Mr. Charlie Williams, Mr. Brandon Washington from Sarah, and also Justin Duncan with NCAT. Could you share a little bit more about that experience?
That was a great experience that I had with them. It was a real eye-opener. It got my mind to thinking and to expand and to go further. And I got with the forestry department. They came out and they looked at my property, and they said that the trees would take several years to get to the size that they want before I can harvest them. So I would be better off to just use my property for raising cows and turn it into a campsite. And so I wanted to put in a fish pond, and they've been very helpful to tell me what kind of soil that I would need for a fish pond so it would hold water, and that I can put fish in there. People can come in and fish, and they can get that experience of being out in the country. We have a little campsite they can camp around out in our wooded area and just enjoy, because just the walkthrough that we had, it was really beautiful and wonderful experience that we had. And they said, yeah, this would be a great campsite for people to come out and enjoy. And so I enjoyed that experience and enjoyed that comments from them, and took in consideration of the thoughts that they gave me to utilize and use, and the help that they tell me I can get with doing this, so I know I'm not on my own. If there is help out there that I can qualify for.
And I believe Justin Duncan, he pointed out that you had what we may consider weeds, actually had some health benefits. Could you talk about some of the things you've spotted on your property since that time?
Yes. I know my mom, she had a garden. She used to have some mud. She would tell us not to cut down when we go out to home. It wasn't grass or weeds, but it was mullein. I didn't know at that time what mullein was, but she did. And when I was up cleaning the property off, I spotted some, and I knew exactly what it was, so I didn't cut it down. And to my amazement, I've been watching it grow and just flourish. And so I found out how to make mullein tea. And I made me a batch of mullein tea. I didn't get no strands in it to get choked on it. And it's delicious. So now I'm just waiting for it to see the effects that it have on my lungs, because at times I have shortness of breath. I can do something for so long, and then I find myself getting short of breath. But I said, this way, I can be healthy by drinking this mullein tea, and I can also give it to my family, and they can get healthy lungs as well.
And I think you spoke of selling it also.
Yes, I can. I'll sell some, and I give it away. Any way I can help others with their health problems that need help, they're welcome to whatever herbs and spices that we can find out here on this property that would be beneficial to their health. So they won't have to rely on all these chemicals and drugs when their body is really starving of the nutrition that it's getting from these plants and animals that God is putting on the earth for us to live on.
Don't have time to stay up to date on the freshest sustainable agriculture news, events, and funding opportunities? You can trust NCAT to keep you connected with our weekly Harvest e-newsletter. Subscribe today at ncat.org and get your weekly Harvest delivered each Wednesday.
Could you explain a little bit more about your future goals? What facilities you're planning on placing on your farm, like the building that you have, making it a farm-to-table event? Could you expound a little bit more on that?
Yes, everything that we grow here on the farm will be grass-fed, natural, no chemicals, and it will be so awesome. The little building that they had purchased as a house back then is still standing, so we're going to turn that into a little community store. And to that, we're going to extend it and add an event hall to where people can gather in and have a family outing, whatever they want, so they can rent that building out. And on the top floor, I would be able to put in some bedrooms so that family, when they come home to visit, they won't have to worry about trying to find a hotel somewhere, but they'll have a room here on the property that they can sleep in and be comfortable. Don't have to worry about check-in and check-out time. It's going to be a farm and ranch type building, a place, and we're going to have chickens that's going to lay our eggs, that's eating from the ground. So whatever rocks and dirt they find out there, it's going to make your eggs taste a whole lot better, and the chicken meat. We're going to raise pigs. We're going to have cattle that's being grass-fed only. And then we're going to have horses that they can come out and ride for a family outing. They can ride our horses and enjoy it. We're going to put in a little walking trail through the woods so they can get the activities of walking through the woods and experience that wood feeling of being in the country. We'll put in a little small recreational mini golf court so they can have a place to get away to, come out and ride go-karts, and put up a theater where instead of being a drive-in, it'd just be a sit-in. We'll have areas where they can come sit, and we'll watch a big screen outdoor theater for their entertainment.
Have you also thought about the solar eclipse that's coming in 2024?
Yes, I read about that, but I hadn't made really any plans of anything because I've been so busy. But I said it would be nice if the people wanted to just drive out. You got an open area where we can just park your cars out here on the property and just look up at the sun and enjoy the eclipse.
Has Mr. Camille Gomez, has he been helpful through this process?
Everybody that I've come in contact has been real helpful. Some of them I need to get back in touch with and let them know I'm getting closer to that project. Trying to find out which one I should put first. There's a lot of projects that I want to do. Everybody said, well, you need to do this first and you need to do that first. But I said, while I'm waiting to get all that done, if there is a way where I can get this mulch that I've been reading up on, this mulch machine that comes in, I've been seeing the tree loggers going through, cleaning up the roadside where they're cleaning off on electrical lines, and it goes through and cleans the land off real good. I just leave nothing but wood chips. And I said, well, if they can come in and clean off my area like that, and we can sell the wood chips to anybody that wants to burn or whatever, decorate their landscape with them, they're welcome to it. But just it's so much to do and so many areas to work in and directions to go in that I have to sit down and put something in progress so we can go forward with it.
Yes. Are there any other comments that you would like to make? Are there any new crops that you're thinking of putting in next spring?
My son's, he'll be here in January, so we're going to get started on growing and ready for the spring. We're going to get everything in the ground that we can to get ready started, so that project will be underway. So I'm looking forward to it, and whatever. I want to go all natural seeds. I don't want no GMOs. I want to go people who have natural plants that they save some seeds from. So we start off with natural seeds. And they gave me different websites I can go to and find people that have these natural seeds. So I plan on getting some of those ordered in so that I will have my crop ready to go when we get ready to start for the spring.
And have you had a soil test completed?
No, the weather hadn't been really suitable for it. For them to come out and get it done, it's already been either too wet or too dry. And the timing had never been right for them, so they never did a soil sample for me. The way everything is growing out here, the soil is fine.
Okay, well, can you think of any other questions that you would like to ask before we end our podcast for today?
No, just keep me in your loop whenever you come up with new ideas or new projects or new training sessions coming up. So if I can't make one, I try to make as many as I can because I like learning, and all the information that I glean from these meetings, it really helps me out a lot.
Yes, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you for taking the time to join us today. And we will follow up with you and tell you about additional meetings that we will be having, and hopefully get a chance to come back out to your farm and walk your land with you and help to schedule up for the spring. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Additional information about this episode and related resources can be found at atra.incat.org. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to Voices from the Field wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Rich Myers. ATRA, Voices from the Field, is produced by the National Center for Appropriate Technology, headquartered in Butte, Montana. It's supported by the USDA Rural Business Cooperative Service as part of NCAT's ATRA Sustainable Agriculture Program. Any opinions, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this recording are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDA or NCAT. We'll catch you again next week, and until then, keep on farming.